The Independent Regulatory Board for Auditors, also known as IRBA, has been injected with greater powers to oversee the auditing profession. This follows the signing into law of the Auditing Profession Amendment Act by President Ramaphosa in late April and the subsequent gazetting of the new law. IRBA is mandated to protect the financial interests of the public by ensuring that registered auditors and their firms deliver services of the highest quality and credibility. In light of the auditing industry having been embroiled in corporate scandals and state capture that have brought it into disrepute, the new law should go a long way in bolstering the regulator's effectiveness in ensuring that auditors do their work in accordance with the standards expected of them. To tell us about the implications of the Auditing Profession Amendment Act, I'm joined on the line by Imra Nagy. He's the CEO at IRBA. Thanks very much, Imra, for joining us. Now, the Auditing Profession Amendment Act replaces the Auditing Profession Act of 2005. What key amendments have been made to make your work easier and more effective?
No, but I think, first of all, we are obviously very pleased with the new Amendment Act. We're very fortunate that Treasury and Parliament have fast-tracked the promulgation of the Act and the President signing it in about a week ago. So there's about five things that I can highlight that that's significant in the amendments. The first is the independence. It significantly enhances the independence of the RBA in terms of its governance structures and committees.
Yes.
And then there's also some investigating and disciplinary processes improvements, including the power to enter and search premises for the purposes of seizing information relevant to an investigation, and also the power to subpoena persons with information that is required for an investigation. We also get more power to refer non-audit complaints for investigation to registered accredited bodies such as SAICA. And lastly, stricter monetary sanctions in relation to both investigations and disciplinary outcomes.
Yeah, sounds like very extensive powers indeed. So I understand that it was actually you guys as a regulator that approached the National Treasury with proposals on how you could better regulate the industry. Were all those ideas pretty much taken on board in the legislative process?
Yes, Nonthu. So obviously, following the high-profile corporate and audit failures that we experienced around 2017, we approached Treasury with proposed amendments to the Act, obviously to enable us to, as the regulator, address public concerns on the state of the profession and assist us in carrying out our mandate in a more effective way.
Yes.
So definitely we're very pleased, and National Treasury has been amazing and Parliament as well in broad adoption of the amendments and fast-tracking these amendments to bring us to where we are today.
Yeah. Of course, as you mentioned, a few bad apples or instances have led to the auditing profession coming into disrepute. How badly has the industry been affected by this, in the interim before this new Amendment Act came in?
So I would say the confidence has been significantly impacted by the failures. Obviously, investors lost money when corporates failed to disclose the true state of affairs in their books. And on top of that, you might get the auditor not picking it up, firstly, or being part of it.
Yes.
And I think that really tainted the profession, but the broad profession, not just the auditors. And I think we really recognize the need that something needed to be done, and we need to do much more in addressing the broader ecosystem which the auditors form part of. How do we get more credible information out to investors, those people that whose monies are invested through pensions, etc., so we don't see the surprise of one morning waking up and all your money is gone and the auditor didn't pick it up.
Exactly. So the amendment law is timely because obviously you guys would want to ensure that everyone is playing ball correctly. While the law is there now, do you have a mound of cases that you need to deal with at the moment? And will you have the capacity to do the job effectively?
So obviously the amendments come at a critical time when we are working very, very hard to restore confidence in the profession and in the RBA as the regulator. And as I said, we recognize that we need this to stimulate investment, which is important for our economic recovery. But to answer your question, yes, we do have quite a bit of cases. There is an increase in referrals to us for investigation. But fortunately, this act on the disciplinary side, it does enable us to handle more than one disciplinary case at a time. The act enables us to set up more than one chairman and a subcommittee to deal with cases and disciplinary cases. And on the investigation side, we are looking at increasing our capacity, and we're already busy increasing our capacity by appointing more investigators to do more investigations at the same time. So yes, there is a backlog, but we're working very hard to get ahead of the backlog in the next year or two.
Yeah, and these professionals that you hire to do the job, are they all auditors themselves and accountants themselves? What skill set do you have at Urba?
So all our investigators are obviously former auditors, senior people, but none of the people involved are practicing auditors. I think it's important that we do also maintain some independence, but we have committees, that is made up of different skill sets and experiences, made up of lawyers, former auditors, that together combined do have the skill sets to adjudicate any case.
Yes.
And then the investigators are mostly permanent, but we also bring in expert investigators from outside who meet the requirements. But these are senior individuals with extensive audit experience that is running these investigations.
Yes. And this is no slight on you, but what is the leadership situation at Urba like currently? Why, for example, are you the acting CEO and not permanent? Because things like that do make an impression on perceptions around seriousness of purpose and direction.
Mm. So obviously, without going back, we do currently have a caretaker board that was only appointed for 3 months, and we were awaiting the Minister of Finance to announce a new board.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I don't want to really, or I'm not in a position to comment on why the CEO position is vacant and why I was appointed.
Okay.
But I guess we are looking forward, and we are looking forward to get stability in our leadership structure in the near future. Fortunately, as the RBA and the staff and the directors of the RBA, we were able and we are able to continue executing the mandate of the RBA in the short term.
That was Imran Nagy. He's the CEO at Urba.